In Revelation, I felt like it was another foundational scripture. You know, there's a lot of scriptures, but I know Christ is the foundation. But I feel like, you know, in this building, you got all these scriptures. But when I ran up on that one and began to reveal it, I said, man, this is another one of them cornerstone scriptures. Let me throw this title out there. I'm calling this Fear Not. Fear not. Fear not, part one. I, you know, only got one little page of notes, and I don't even know where we'll go with it or what we'll do with it, but fear not. Because there's so much junk out there. Paul dealt with this. I mean, there was so much junk. He dealt with it in the Galatians and the Corinthians and there, you know, all these churches, so much junk out there. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, I listen to the radio, I watch TV, I see all this other stuff, I look around, and you know, we began to talk a little bit last week about righteousness. What is it? And how easy it is to be duped by this thing of self-righteousness. What do you mean self-righteousness? We're supposed to be humble and not arrogant. But let me tell you something. Righteousness. What is it? Why do we strive for it? Why do we seek it? You know, there's something inside of us, our soul, that longs for a God, that longs to not be separated, that longs for relationship, that longs to worship, that longs to pray, to praise. It longs for it. You know, with Paul, and he talked about the righteousness that he thought he gained. I'm going to be bouncing like a ping pong ball today. I can just see it. Talking about this righteousness. You know, I'm trying to I wish I could sometimes I wish I could make my mind a movie projector and then you could see a little bit better what I'm trying to talk about. But the relationship that God desires with us is found in Christ. But what I mean is with that, you see, we've been talking about this a little bit, and let me just throw this out there. Consciousness. Evil conscience, good conscience. What does it mean to have an evil conscience? What does it mean to have a good conscience? And you know, I hear these people on the radio and these other churches, and they're talking about evil and all these things, and what they have related as evil. What they have related as good and you know, I go all the way back to Cain. You know, we talked about Cain. And, you know, when God says man's heart was only evil continually, what was they doing? They weren't doing nothing. Go read the Bible. They were making cities. They were making brass instruments. That's all they were doing. But God called them evil. Why was they evil? Because they had the mark of Cain. What was the mark of Cain? It's the mark of a slave. Just to give you out front here where we're going with this, God is not going to be the God of a bunch of slaves. He's going to be the God of free men. Come unto me, all ye that what labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Learn of me. He who whom the Son makes free is what? Free indeed. This is about freedom. It's about liberty. But with liberty comes fear. Or does it? I mean, you got to think about these things, because I'm going to tell you what right now. I seen this in this one movie called The Shawshank Redemption. The guy said he got institutionalized. Well, I seen this in the military. I seen military people who could not function outside of the military. You know why? Because the military says 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. you will eat. You know, we're going to give you an hour window here. Up to you. But you know what? Sometimes I was in there and I would be hungry and I'd go to the chow hall at 10:45, it'd be closed. And some guy says, "You big dummy, we don't open up till 11. We're opening up from 11 to 1, not at 10:45. Same thing in the evening. And if you missed it, you're just done with that. But, you know, who cares if I pay my bills? I got a barracks to stay in. I got a shower, I can shower. They're even going to provide me with clothes. So there's no need for me to even think or function outside of that. So you become militarized, if you will, and you just stay in there. Hey, most people live that very way today. Don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We know what's right here. We get up every morning and we go to work and we say, "Got to make a living." Isn't that pitiful? This is what we call living. And then the whole time is we're waiting. Waiting on what? The Jews had an expectation. They were waiting on a Messiah to come to deliver them and bless them and all these other things. And Christians, we want to get out of this. Hey, it's the same longing in the heart. But who believes when the Lord hung on the cross and he said, "It's finished"? And I often wondered this. I don't know about you guys. When I read the scriptures, I just look and I wonder. And it says he took them out as far as Bethany, and about 500 saw the Lord when he ascended. And I say, 500? And we say, "Oh, that was a lot." That wasn't a lot. We're talking a nation. Only 500 show up. Why not 1,000, Clyde? Why not 10,000? What the whole nation went out? Because they didn't even recognize him as the Messiah when he came. He warned them about the day of visitation. Only 500 saw him. Man, not very many. But let me try to explain something here just real quick. And I don't even see, God is light. John tells us this then is the message. Let me flip over there real quick. See, I got this down at the bottom of the page. I'm way ahead of myself. 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. All right, what does that mean, God is light? What does that have to do with me? This then is the message, God is light. Well, I just want you to try to think about this. Cain. Adam back in the garden. When they ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they believed the lie, didn't they? They believed the lie. They partook of the lie. And that lie was that of darkness. And they became the darkness. They partook of the darkness. They believed. Their consciousness became dark. And when God came down into the garden in the cool of the evening, Adam went and hid himself. You guys know this story. It's so basic stuff. Why did he hide himself? He was ashamed and he was afraid. Why? Because he done what he wasn't supposed to. He sinned. And, you know, we get into all these, don't sin. When you join the church, you better straighten up and live right. No. He sinned. And he goes out and he did these things. Guys, listen. It's not that God, you know, we were on several weeks about judgment. And you know, I knew this, I guess, intellectually, but it had never sunk in. But God is light. Now, I just want you to think about that for a moment. If your conscience is that of darkness, and light shows up, what happens to that darkness? And we say, well, it goes away. It don't go away. It runs and hides. Isn't that what Adam did? It runs and hides. It flees. Now, just God is righteous and just and good and love and holy and all of these things. He's light. And I know what people want, guys. With me just these last couple of weeks on this thing, because we say, well, when we all go to heaven, we're all going to dwell together. Let me tell you something, guys. Let me tell you something right now. You are in a relationship with Jesus Christ right this moment. And if you die right now, you leave here, God forbid, and a Big Mac truck runs you over. Your body we will take out and lay down, but your conscience remains the same. What changed with it? Magic dust sprinkling on. So if you have a conscience of hiding from the presence of the Lord, what difference does it make whether you have a body or whether you don't? Yeah, you may want to go to heaven, but you'll want to be in the far corner of heaven because you won't want to be nowhere near the light. I know I'm butchering this thing here, guys. I'm just trying to tell you, that's why we put it off. It's because we don't want to deal with our conscience. Now, Paul was stood there as one having a good conscience towards God. And the only way you can have a good conscience towards God, Peter tells us, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God took he took Cain and slew Cain. Brought forth a whole new creation. I'm talking darkness and light. And I know I'll never get this out right. I know I never will. But just in this little bit that the Lord has been dealing with me in these things, guys, I've even began to sense somewhat more of a rest, somewhat more of a peace. Let me read you some scriptures here. I don't even know where to go. Let me go with these and make you mad first, and then maybe I can bring it around here towards the end. I'm in Revelation chapter 21, and we'll start verse 3. I'd love to read the first two. New heaven, new earth, no more sea. I know what we do with all those scriptures. I know where we put them. But I read it. Let me tell you something. I've had this verse on my mind for 2 weeks. Verse 4. And you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to anyway. Let me start in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say. I heard a great voice. Now just let this sink in. We read these things too fast. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold. That word behold is lo. Look. Take your time. Look. Set your attention. Look. Fasten your mind. Lift up thine eyes. Look. The tabernacle of God is in heaven. Patty loves to argue with me. I read this verse. I say, tabernacle of God is in heaven. Patty's going, no. The tabernacle of God, the dwelling place, right? The abiding place, the tent that he gave them in the wilderness, the tabernacle that Solomon built. Where is it? It's with men. Amen. And where's men at? And he will dwell with them. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. What does that mean? Notice what comes first. Not he'll be your God. Look, he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. What does that mean? They shall be his people. Paul makes this great statement there. Now that you have known God, or rather are known of God, you realize what he's saying here is you are known of him. I don't know if this does anything to you or not. God knows who I am. Let me tell you something. If you've ever, you know, sometimes I wish that we could just roll back the clock a couple thousand years and maybe go back to a Passover that the Jews kept, or to a tabernacle feast that they kept. And you would walk up to that city, Jerusalem, and walk up to that tabernacle and see 3 million people gathered there, waiting on the high priest to go in on the Day of Atonement. And come out and see 3 million people there in silent prayer, waiting for that high priest to come out. Because when he came out, my God, they had forgiveness. What do you think happened? 3 million people let out in joyous praise. That their fellowship, that their God was still their God. He wasn't angry at them. He was their God. Yeah. They knew the scriptures when he said, "Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." They began to rejoice. I mean, is he our shield and our exceeding great reward? Yes, he is. He's all of those things, but what do? We run and hide. If he's going to be our God and we're going to be his people, it's got to have something to do with our conscience. Paul would always talk about with good conscience. With good conscience. God himself shall be with them and be their God. He'll dwell among them. Isn't that what we sing that song, Emmanuel? What does that mean? God with us. God with us. God with us. Just. But here's this next verse. And I know you're not going to like this verse, but I'm going to read it. I got a King James here. I read it in many translations, read many commentaries. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's just stay right here just for a second. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now let me just bring this around to you. Does this verse say nobody's ever going to cry again? That's what we've made it to say. That's what we've said for my whole life. Nobody's ever crying again. Is that what that verse says? You got it up there, I'm sure. Does anybody have a translation that says, you're never going to cry again? What does it say? It says when you do cry. Are you hearing me? Because I just told you, he's going to be your God. You're going to be his people. And now he's telling you, when you do cry. Beforehand, you was all alone, and I heard the cry come up, and we were separated, and there was a veil, and there was all these other things, and I heard the cry, and the cry, he tore the veil from top to bottom, and now he says, I myself. I don't know if this means anything to you. Now he said, Kathy, I myself. Didn't the scripture say in Hebrews that he tasted death for every man, that he was tempted in all points. Why? That he might succor them. Now, if there wasn't any tears, there would be no need for succor, would they? I know you don't like what I'm saying because you're waiting on a day when there ain't going to be no more tears. He didn't say that. He said, when you cry, I will wipe away all your tears. And he said, there'll be no more death. What is death? Death, guys, is separation from life. Who is life? Him. There'll be no more separation. I'll neither leave you nor forsake you. I will be there. I will be your God. You will be my people. Let me go to Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 25. Isaiah, yeah. Isaiah 25 and verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now, all nations, guys, does that get everybody? A veil. Now, what did this veil do? This veil separated. This veil made a division. And it separated all from him. And let me tell you something, guys. I'm talking about this weeping here. I began to look through the scriptures, and I see where Abraham, his wife Sarah, died. And he looked for a place to bury her and a place to weep. But here's something else. I read where the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, Jesus Christ himself, wept. Not just once. Lazarus, he wept. He stood over Jerusalem and he wept. And I can just see him sitting there and just looking at this veil and this separation and looking and seeing, what have these people become? I can't have this. I'm going to be their God and they shall be my people. I'm going to destroy that veil. I'm going to destroy that veil that separates us. That's why the Holy Spirit, guys, is always there, trying to bring us around into this relationship that is secured in Jesus Christ. We've made it so stupid and so... Gosh, I listened this morning. What we've got our Christian people doing. Listen, I heard this guy, all these other people, they're talking about fighting the devil. As soon as you come into the church, we're going to put a sword in your hand. You got to go fight the devil. And the devil's always after you. And the devil's trying to give you flat tires. And, I heard one of them on the radio, and he was singing a song, and his guitar was all out of tune. And he said, I got to fight that devil, and a broken guitar string. Let me tell you something. Jeff could probably tell you. Listen, I used to play music in bars. I would be playing Merle Haggard. And right in the middle of, I got swinging doors, a jukebox, and a bar stool. I broke a guitar string. Now, was that the devil? Why would it be up in the bar? Why would it be in the bar when I'm saying I got swinging doors, a jukebox, and a bar stool, breaking a guitar string, but yet I go to church and break a guitar string, and the devil's doing it? Because we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. Destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Destroyed. Came to destroy him, that there would be no schism, no division, no separation between us and our God. He wept. Our weeping was just a response to his weeping of what we had become. He looked at the people and said, they're only evil. They have the mentality of a slave. I can't let that go on. It's just. And in order to bring you around to a good conscience, why do you think Christ came and died? Because God was so mad and he was about to kill everybody and he's a bloodthirsty monger? Is that why? God up in heaven sat somewhere and said, somebody's got to pay. You know, like out of that movie, somebody's got to go to jail. Somebody's got to pay. I'm thirsty for blood. That's a vampire that's thirsty for blood. Is God a vampire? Who needed it? You did. You needed to see this good conscience towards God. God says, what would I require of you? Do I require song of you? Do I require praise of you? Music of you? What do I require of you? Here's what I want. I want to be your God and you be my people. I want to be your shield and your exceeding great reward. Let me keep on reading. Destroy the covering cast over the people. He will swallow up death in victory. What do you mean he's going to swallow up death in victory? Swallow up death and victory. I mean, has he already done it, or is this some other day, or what do you mean? Because what we do when we look at swallow up death and victory is one of these days nobody's going to die anymore. But what we think dying is put it in the ground. What was that death in the scripture? Because I got to tell you, back in the scriptures, and he said, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." When Adam partook of that, he died. Did anybody bury? Did he still not have a wife? Did he still not raise kids? But he did it from dead, being dead. So obviously death ain't got nothing to do with the casket, according to scriptures. It's just like this, guys, and I know this may come across a little hard, but all this fighting, all this nonsense and fighting and stuff, you remember when they were in the wilderness, they began to complain, God sent serpents? You know the story. The serpents bit them. You remember what God told them to do? I bet if I ask, everyone in here knows what God told them to do. God says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Go out and get you a bunch of swords and big long sticks. And when the snakes come, fight the devil. Get them ready to fight the devil. Is that not what he said to do? Are you sure? Because that's what we're trying to get him to do today, right? Go to war, warfare, spiritual warfare. He said, take a brass serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up, and what? When the children look, what happened? They'll be healed. He didn't tell them one time to go get a stick. We're going to get a sword. You know, and I'll bring this right up. Peter in the garden took out a sword, cut Malachi's ear off. What did Jesus tell him? Put that sword up. He that lives by the sword will die by it. That's not the sword. That's not the sword. But Paul says, put on the armor, the whole armor, that you might be able to fight and withstand. What is the fight? The fight is to not fight. The fight is to stand in victory. Not be moved back over into the land of slavery. Been brought into the kingdom of his dear son. God is light. You've been brought into light. You were sometimes darkness, and now what? Light in the Lord. Swallow up death and victory. And the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. The rebuke. The rebuke. And look what he says. And the Lord hath spoken it. Let me tell you what. When Jesus came here and when he got up on that cross and he was hanging there when he said it's finished, do you think maybe he might have had this scripture in mind? among all the other ones, when he said it's finished, did he say, you know what? I'm going to swallow up death in victory. Wipe away all tears from their faces. The rebuke of the people shall he take away off the earth. The Lord has spoken it. God has spoken it in Son. Jesus says, and it shall be said in that day. What day? That day. That day, you reckon that day that I saw a new heaven and a new earth? I heard a voice coming out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Is there another day? Is there that day and then another day and another day? Or is it that day? That day that is the day of the new heaven and the new earth. The day where their death is swallowed up in victory. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. Ah, then I began to see. Here's where our hearts has been all along. Here's where Christian people are right now. Their hearts are longing for it. Up to Mars Hills and we think, we ain't Mars Hills. Let me tell you what. Mars Hill is all over the place here in Tazewell County. They got all kinds of signs on the door. And Paul goes up in there and says, let me declare something to you. Let me declare the unknown God. Wait a minute, you're worshiping you know not what. God is not afar off. You've groped around in the darkness long enough. You've been waiting for him. I'm here to tell you, he's here. Yes. Well, if he's here, why can't I see? Because darkness comprehendeth not the light. That's why it takes a be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes these things. It takes a heart that has, we've waited for him. We've longed for him. We've waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Look, it says it twice. We've waited for him. 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 Let me go back over to Hebrews. Let me read you this verse here first. I'm not in Hebrews, I'm in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Listen what I'm telling you right here. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. See what we do? We want to make this an event. We want to stick it out in time and make an event out of it. But something is going to happen right here, right? It says when this takes place, right? When this mortal shall I put on immortality? When this corrupt, all right? Let's distinguish something here. Who's the mortal we're talking about here? When this mortal. I'm going to just say me. You. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. When this mortal shall have put on incorruption. Now, let's distinguish here if I'm talking about two people. This mortal. This mortal means one who is subject to death. Right? He's subject to it. Subject to it. This mortal. So let's say me. This mortal. Or let me go back, start from the beginning. When this corruptible, who's corruptible? Me and you. Shall I have put on incorruption? All right? If I'm the corrupt, then who is the incorruption? Christ. So when this corrupt shall have put on incorruption. So we brought it down, and this corrupt is me, and incorruption is Christ. And this mortal, he's just giving us another statement of saying, who's this mortal? This mortal shall have what? Put on what? Immortality. Who's immortality? I mean, I can read you in Timothy. Immortality. God alone hath immortality. God alone hath immortality. Then, what you have put on immortality, what you have put on incorruption, then, not until then, shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Sin. And then we go over here to 1 John. And we go back and read that again. This then is the message that you have heard and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now look what he's saying right here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, darkness, mortality, darkness, corruption, darkness, the mark of Cain, darkness, sin. If we say that we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Keep this in your mind right here. All right? Let me go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, when this mortal, me, shall put on immortality, him. When this mortal, this corrupt, me, shall put on incorruption, him. Then shall the saying come to pass, O death, death is swallowed up in victory. All right? Let me start in Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. God is light, and if we walk in the darkness, right, we lie. He said, I don't want you to be like the others, having their what is darkened. Their understanding. What is their understanding? Their consciousness is darkened. It's not who they are. Being alienated from the life of God, alienated just like Adam was, through sin. Are you guys reading this? I got to put Ephesians 4:18 up there. Having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through sin, through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness, darkness, blindness, what? Of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I know those are big words that Paul's using, but this is just bringing back the mind of a slave. This is bringing back the mindset that I got to do something for God. I got to go serve him. I got to go make him happy. I got to follow him around. I got to be the source of God's happiness. I got to be God to God. Because God is not happy unless I make him happy. Right? In this religion, we got to get busy for God. We got to do something for God. We got to be the source of his happiness. And God cannot be happy unless I make him that way. And I make him that way by this and that and keeping of the law and doing all these other things. But ye have not so learned Christ. Paul says, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Uh-oh. When this old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, lust comes out from separation, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in your understanding. Because he said over here, your understanding was darkened and it was ignorant. And that ye put on the new man. Wait a minute, when this mortal shall put on immortality, who is the new man? He is incorrupt, he is immortality. When you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. John says if we say we walk in darkness, we lie. He says, lie not one to another. Right here. Wherefore, putting away lying, that's not who you are. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, when this mortal puts on Christ, then what? Then the saying is, death is swallowed up in victory. Now guys, we try to put that off somewhere. And Paul's telling us, don't be like the other ones. They're ignorant. Their mind is darkened. I'm telling you right now, when he told Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, that was a current fact. Just like it is right now. It is a current fact. Okay. Let me go to Colossians. Colossians 3. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, setting your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, with whom many times. Now look what he says. I'm just skipping to verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Oh, wait a minute. See there, God's always those who won't receive him. God's always going to be punishing. Listen, God is light. And when you have a darkened mind, God is always going to be seen as wrath to you. Always. It's going to be seen as wrath. And you're going to be just like Adam. You're going to want to run and hide. You're going to want to get away from him. You're going to want to fall back. You always will. Because darkness and light cannot have fellowship. What communion hath darkness and light? They can't. God has brought you into a place where communion is. His tabernacle is with me. It's a place of communion. It's a place of bread. It's a place of wine. It's a place of communion. Now what communion hath light with darkness, Clyde? Cannot. Ye who were sometimes darkness, you used to be, are now light. Children of the light. Rise and shine. The light has come. We can come boldly. Darkness can't come boldly to the throne of grace to seek mercy in his time of need. Only light. Walk in the light. As he is in the light. Let me just keep on reading. The wrath of God is always over darkness because God doesn't want any darkness. That light might fill everything. That his son may fill it all. In the which ye also walked, and sometimes when ye lived in them. But now. When is now? But now. Ye also put off all these. Now remember, when this mortal shall put on immortality. This corrupt. Now he's going to give us some definitions of these things. But now ye also put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Out of your filthy communication ain't cussing. Filthy communication, guys, is speaking the lie, speaking the language of darkness, speaking the language of slavery. And then what's he say? Lie not one to another. Seeing. What does that mean, seeing? That means understanding. Understanding that ye have, what am I saying here? This is an already thing. Because if I was going to write it in future tense, I would wrote, seeing that ye will put off the old one. But I didn't write it that way, did I? I wrote it in, would you call that, if you was dissecting this sentence, past tense? Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. Is that not past tense? Means it's done. Now wait a minute, brother. But I know all this other stuff still goes on. And that's the part that people can't reconcile, because they want to judge it with their natural eyes. And see this and see that and say, scriptures are not yet fulfilled. Just like when Jesus walked and he stood right there. Guys, let me tell you something. I just see this so much. They had a funeral procession going on. And here's the Messiah come walking this way. Can you see him going to meet all again? Can you see him going to meet? Can you see him going to a church service and said, you know what? Every service you've had has been a funeral. It's been a service of separation. It's been a service of darkness. It's been a service of tears. But here he come. Here he come. And he stopped the church, the funeral. He stopped the funeral. He stopped the funeral. Do you see what I'm saying? When a woman's only son was there. Her son. Isn't this what the whole thing was about? Her son was there. The mourning. The son was there. And let me tell you something, guys. I could just see the son that Israel waited for was dead. On the cross, his last natural words were, it's finished. The hope of all Israel's gone. Here's the disciples who have followed him and seen all the miracles and seen all the things that he had ever did. And they looked. I see his own mother there crying. And he prophesied that very same. He said, your soul will even be pierced. Jesus had enough right there on the cross to say, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. From that moment on, John took her into his home. Man, I just see these things. The hope of Israel. Dead on a cross. Gone. What is death? It's separation, Clyde. That was it. He told him on the road to Emmaus, man, that's the guy. We thought that was him. And now, even he's dead. Man. He began to speak and their hearts burned. wonder does your heart burn? Every situation that it comes in. And you know, I was looking this morning, last night, all this weeping. And every time he said, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And they began to cry. Jairus began to cry out and say, man, my daughter. My daughter. When he got to the house, what kind of state was she? They was already in tears. What did Jesus say? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Can you get a hold of that? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Jesus went right in to that place. What did he say? Talitha kumi. Arise, daughter. When this mortal shall have put on immortality. When? It's up to you. Now see, nobody wants to hear that because we want to wait and leave it up to somebody else. But he says, guys, this is up to you. When? Paul already had. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Paul had already, death was swallowed up in victory. That's why Paul could sing out from the prisons. Didn't worry about shipwrecks. Didn't worry about vipers biting him. He didn't climb. That's why Peter could sleep when they was going to cut his head off a few hours later. Because they already had the victory. And he's saying, I'm giving it to you. It's already yours. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Fear not. Fear not. And that is the whole church world is fear. Everything is fear. Whoever's president, who ain't president. What's going on in this? What's happening with this? How are you doing this? Don't do that. Fear, fear, fear. But he says, fear not. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the king of his dear son. Father's good pleasure. Now, I know all these things, guys, that I'm telling you. People do not want to hear. God will wipe away all tears. Guys, you go look up all the translations. The focus is not on the tears. The focus is upon who is the one and who you've been brought into. The focus is upon him who his sympathy, his empathy, his be your God. I told you guys, I bounce around. Let me just give you these scriptures and I'll finish up right here. I promise. I'm in Hebrews 2. I'm going to just start verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Who's the children here that are partakers of flesh and blood? Who are the children here that are partakers of the flesh and blood? That's me and you. Me and you got flesh and blood. That's who we are. Flesh and blood. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also. Who is he? We got to be talking about somebody else now because me and you are already partakers of flesh and blood. And now he who was not a partaker of flesh and blood at this particular moment, likewise, took part of the same. That means he was other than flesh and blood. What was he before he was flesh and blood? Light. So in other words, light took part of the same thing as me and you. We see this on the Mount of Transfiguration, because what had happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw him without flesh. Brighter than the noonday sun. He also likewise took part of the same. Why? Why did he do that? I mean, here it tells us that through death, through it, by the means of it, he might destroy him who is him. Listen, Jesus told him, he said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. He said, he was talking to the Hebrews. He said, you are of your father, God. Twice Patty's got me. You are of your father, the devil. That was your source. That was your kind. That was your offspring that had brought you into bondage, marked you as a slave, marked Cain as a slave. Everyone that was ever born was born a slave, born darkness. So they're in this state. But it says that he might destroy him. Who? You're of your father, the devil. That he might destroy the devil. That, well, it says it right here, that is the devil. And the devil does what? Had the power of death. The devil had the power of what? Keeping you from participating in life. Because that's what death is, it's separation. I go read in Revelation that it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This one who stood there accusing them before the Father day and night. Who is it that does the accusing? Who accuses you before the Father day and night? Is it me? Is it Clyde? Is it Jeff? George? Are we the ones going to say, hey, Father, wait a minute. You know what George did to me yesterday? Let me tell you something about Clyde, too, right? Who is it that accuses you before the Father day and night? You. Your conscience. Your evil conscience. Because you know you. Nobody else knows your mind. Only you do. You know every crooked and perverse thought that's ever came in there. You know every ambition. Every selfish thought that's ever come. I don't. So who is it that accuses you before the Father? It's the evil conscience. Who is it that has to be destroyed? It's the evil conscience. You see what I'm talking about? Let me just keep on reading. Now, how is he destroying the evil conscience? Because the evil conscience here destroy him and the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Who is them? The children that were partakers of flesh and blood. That's me and you. Deliver them. Who? Through what? Fear of death. Fear. Fear. Fear of this separation. Guys, this is what we live our life about, isn't it? In fear, in anxiety. We do, guys. Everything about us, everything in this nation. Why do we have all the defense? Because we're afraid somebody might take us over. Why when you go to a store, do you walk through a metal detector? Why? Well, thievery. They're afraid somebody might steal. Afraid somebody might come in with a gun. Afraid. What if somebody comes into your home and steals something from you? Afraid. Lock your doors. Why? Why do you lock your doors? I mean, I'm just asking. Because everything we do is out from fear. Well, let me ask you the question. If you didn't own anything, would you be afraid of somebody stealing something from you? Well, that's a dumb question, ain't it? And let me ask you this. What if your God owned everything? Just saying, what if your God owned everything? Would you be afraid of somebody stealing something? How could you? It'd be like you taking your coffee cup out of the kitchen and putting it on a dining room table. You just reallocated it. You just moved it. Nothing's gone anywhere. Nobody stole anything because I read where he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All gold is mine. All silver is mine. All souls is mine. You see what I'm talking about? And deliver them through death, through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. Do you think when Jesus said, he whom the Son makes free is free indeed, had anything to do with this bondage right here? It's the bondage of death. It's the bondage of separation. Why do you think the whole church world now is longing for Jesus? Longing for Jesus to do what? Come back. Because it's the feel of what? Separation. He's over there. And we're here. We're separated. That was old covenant. That was the mindset of a master to a slave. He's over there. I'm over here. I'm other than. He's other than. I'm darkness. He's light. He's master. I'm slave. Paul says, see that ye have put off the old man and put on the new, which is renewed in the image of God. Line up one to another. You see what I'm talking about? I can promise you right now, I can never get this out. But it's so important, the utmost importance, guys, about a good conscience. And a good conscience ain't got nothing to do with the things that you do. A good conscience has to... It all goes to this. Seeing it already done in Christ. I'm telling you, when he takes you, when you see him, how does he appear? He appears as the Lord of glory, yes. But how? Always as the Lamb slain. He's on the throne as the Lamb slain. So you're never going to see that he ain't the Lamb slain. And that is for your conscience. That you might come in to God, that he may be your God, that you may be his people. I long for words, guys. I long for words to describe what's in my heart. And I don't have them. I wish to, you know, I had to go to work early this morning and I came back, and as I was driving back home, I looked up on the mountain. You guys see that fog rolling over the mountain? It's rolling over the mountain. I just kind of stopped for a moment and looked up at that. I just wonder, do we ever just stop? Just what Patty said earlier. This world is ablaze with him wanting to be our God. Everywhere. Everywhere. You know, we talk about spiritual. You know how hard spiritual is? You know what spirit means in Old Testament? It's the word ruach. It's the word for breath. You know what spiritual means in Greek? It's the word pneuma. You know what that means? Breath. Here's how hard spiritual is. It's as hard as breathing. You got to hold your breath to make a mess of this thing, don't you? And you can't. We've made spiritual off and somewhere lofty and all these other things. And it's just breathing. It's just breathing. It's just breathing. It's just breathing. It's stopping, looking at the grandeur and the majesty that is all around. It's the receiving of Him. You're known of Him. I know, guys. I wish I could get 10,000 people together for one purpose, just to be quiet for about 15 or 20 minutes. Just all sit together and just be still. Be still and know that I am your God. I hope you'll just take time this week just to be still. Oh God, we're too busy. We're too busy with everything. You do realize we get, you know what we're making here? I'm just going to throw this out there. You know what we're making here? The only thing that we can make. You're saying, what is that? There's only one thing that you and I can make. That's history. I don't know if you ever think about that. You can't make future. All you can do is make history. Is that not right? And this world is filled up with what? History. The scriptures are what? History. What are you making? History. I mean, you get one shot at it to make history. That's right, Clyde. It's the only thing you and I can make is history. How's it going to be? The history of slavery, history of darkness, history of separation, history of slavery, or a history of freedom. We see these things worked out in nations. We see it worked out in this nation right here. In the 60s, Martin Luther King and the Civil, we've seen it in the Civil War. These things are going on right now all around us. We go to church. We live in bondage. We live in the lie.